Now, Sandy.
Ned stopped me at this point to ask why the forensic examination of the Buick was conducted in such an odd, to him at least, off-the-cuff manner. Because, I told him, the only criminal complaint in the matter that any of us could think of was theft of services. $7 worth of high-test gasoline. That's a misdemeanor, not worth a forensic crew's time. They would have burnt almost that much gas getting over here from Shippenville, Archie pointed out. Not to mention the man-hours, Phil added. I said, Tony didn't want to start a paper trail. Remember that there wasn't one at that point. All he had was a car, a very weird car, granted. One with no license plates, no registration, and B.B. Roth confirmed this, no VIN number either. But Roach had reason to believe the owner drowned in the stream behind the gas station. Pooh, Shirley said. The driver's overcoat turned out to be a plastic garbage can. So much for Bradley Roach's ideas. Plus, Phil put in, Ennis and your dad observed no tracks going down the slope behind the station, and the grass was still wet. If the guy had gone down there, he would have left a sign. Mostly, Tony wanted to keep it in-house, Shirley said. Would you say that's a fair way to put it, Sandy? Yes, the Buick itself was strange, but our way of dealing with it wasn't much different from the way we deal with anything out of the ordinary. A trooper down, like your father last year, or one who's used his weapon, or an accident, like when George Morgan was in hot pursuit of that crazy asshole who snatched his kids. We were all silent for a moment. Cops have nightmares, any trooper's wife will tell you that. And in the bad dream department, George Morgan was one of the worst. He'd been doing 90, closing in on the crazy asshole who had a habit of beating the kids he had snatched and claimed to love when it happened. George is almost on top of him, and all at once here's this senior citizen crossing the road, 70 years old, slower than creeping bullfrog Jesus, and legally blind. The asshole would have been the one to hit her, if she'd started across 3 seconds earlier, but she didn't. No, the asshole blew right by her, the rearview mirror on the passenger side of his vehicle so close it almost took off her nose. Next comes George, and kapow! He had 12 blameless years on the state police, 2 citations for bravery, community service awards without number. He was a good father to his own children, a good husband to his wife, and all that ended when a woman from Lasburg Cut tried to cross the street at the wrong moment and he killed her with PSP Cruiser D-27. George was exonerated by the State Board of Review and came back to a desk job on the troop, rated PLD, permanent light duty, at his own request. He could have gone back full-time as far as the brass was concerned, but there was a problem. George could no longer drive, not even the family car to the market. He got the shakes every time he slid behind the wheel, and his eyes teared up until he was suffering from a kind of hysterical blindness. That summer, he worked nights on dispatch. In the afternoons, he coached the Troop D-sponsored Little League team all the way to the state tournament. When that was over, he gave the kids their trophy and their pins, told them how proud he was. Then went home. A player's mother drove him, drank 2 beers, and blew his brains out in the garage. He didn't leave a note. Cops rarely do. I wrote a press release in the wake of it. Reading it, you never would have guessed it was written with tears on my face. And it suddenly seemed very important that I communicate some of the reason why to Curtis Wilcox's son.